Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. This series of interviews with my friend Dan Bull has been so good. It was great to catch up, but even better to talk about Jesus' kingdom. As our interview wraps up, Dan is concluding his season of ministry as the Director of Alliance Youth with the Christian and Missionary Alliance and is returning to local church ministry back home in Pennsylvania. He's transitioning from making disciples among youth to making disciples of whole families. And that makes today's segment very special. Because today, we're talking about how to disciple and pray with your own family. There's another aspect of this, I think, that's important, too. As you're talking, I'm thinking about this. Prayer does move things in the spiritual realm. There is no doubt, absolutely no doubt. But I think prayer also aligns us with the heart of God. When we're in communication, I just think about like in a marriage relationship, if I only talk to my spouse, I only talk to Catherine, you know, once a week, things are not going to be good in our relationship.
It's not going to go well for you, my friend.
So, but I think that the more I talk with Catherine, the more our hearts resonate with each other, the more we're on task with each other, the more we understand each other, the more we're actually communicating about the things that are really important and not just superficial in our relationship. It's the same thing with the Father. And so, you know, as we're doing that, we're moving the heavenlies, absolutely, but we're also moving our own heart, I think.
Yeah. Amen. I will resonate with that and amen that all day long. People just don't talk to Jesus enough.
Yeah.
You know, I read this cartoon with Jesus, like it's like Mary goes and talks to Jesus, but not
over
like
coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and it was saying, Jesus, I just want to hear your voice. And he goes, well, read my Bible. And she's like, no, I want to hear your voice out loud. He goes, well, then read the Bible out loud.
That's awesome. I didn't see that one. I see him on Facebook periodically,
yeah,
but
yeah. And I was like, that's perfect. I'm like, that is so true. Right. Like, I want to hear your voice like audibly. Let me read my word out loud.
That is so good.
But it does. It puts you in communion with the Father. I actually gave a message about a month ago. And in that message, I was talking about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hmm. Right. And what does that mean to experience Jesus today as those who experienced him 2,000 years ago, or even 5,000 years ago when you showed up in the Old Testament as a Christophany, right? Like, how do you experience that Jesus today? And I was really kind of like wrestling with them, like, yeah, Lord, how do you do that today? I was like, wait a minute, it's really not that hard. But it doesn't happen immediately. It happens over a season of time. And it's legitimately talking with God like you talk with others. It's spending time in the Holy Scriptures, right? I didn't use the word Bible. I really want to use the Holy Scriptures to emphasize the inspired word of God, right? And do you really believe that these are the word of God? Because that matters, right? So you talk with him, you let him talk back through his word, right? That intimate experience. But then more importantly, you have to be a part of a community of other believers for a season of time as those people are learning and leaning into their own Christ-likeness, because they're the body of Christ, right? So if you want to experience the person of Christ, you're going to experience it not only through his actual personage and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but you will also experience it through the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus, the people, right? And that is going to be one of those things through talking with God, let him talk back to the Holy Scriptures, being in community with other people who are following after Jesus, you begin to see Jesus everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Let me turn this to a more personal a personal direction. What I was going to ask you is how you personally do disciple making. What I'd love to do, I didn't get your permission about this previous, but you got some wonderful kids and you got a beautiful bride as well. In the house with your own family, how do you do disciple making with your own family?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. You know, I wish I had a systematic approach to this, but really it's more of a couple of key guiding principles, right? And so the first guiding principle that I use is I talk with my children like they're growing adults. I don't try to kid emphasize anything or dumb it down. I open the scriptures and we're talking about the Bible. If it has something in there that's adult, we just talk about it because scripture talks about it. Right. And I have to believe that if you're old enough to read scripture, then you're old enough to start understanding the human experience, which is very real, and letting the scriptures inform how your human experience should look. You know, so, my son who's 10, we were talking about.
He's 10. I'm sorry.
He's 10, John. He's 10. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. Keep going. Anyway.
It goes fast. You know, so we went out to breakfast just the other morning, and he wanted to go to this restaurant before we leave Colorado Springs. And we had this conversation based around this passage of scripture, right? All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, right? First Corinthians, I think it's 1:7 or 7. I got to go back and look at the reference, but all things are permissible, but not everything's beneficial. And then he goes on to say the stomach for food, the food for stomach. And then Paul says what? He says, therefore, your human sexuality is not meant to be given away and abused. Now, my son's 10, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the context of the passage. It's not that everything's permissible, but it's not all beneficial and you're applying it to food or alcohol or tobacco or anything else. The context is human sexuality. Mm-hmm. And here, Paul is trying to tell the church in Corinth, can you do it under grace? Absolutely. Are you abusing yourself and others in that place? Absolutely. Right? And the emphasis is not on your permissibility. The emphasis is on how great God's grace is. And so as we began that conversation, we started applying it to different things. You know, he's in fourth grade and the guys are starting to talk about stuff and girls are starting to come up. And what does that mean for you, son? Because, so-and-so's older brother is 13 and they were vaping. Well, let's talk about that. You know, can you vape? Well, according to scripture, yeah, you sure can because it's covered under grace. If it's a sin, it's covered under grace. Is it beneficial? And how do we put wisdom in the heart of God into that decision-making process? So for us, I mean, I deal with scripture as it is with my kids with complete honesty in conversation. And that's with all of my children. And just in case you're wondering, yes, my youngest is almost 5, will be 5 in May.
Oh,
and
my
all of
goodness.
My kids, they've already had the sex talk.
Yeah.
You know, because they need to know because they're already starting to talk about it. And so
society is talking about it so young now, you know.
Right. So I want Jesus to be the first influence or the first impression on that needs to be scripture, not the world. Right. Because then I'm trying versus letting scripture be the imprint on how these things happen. So yeah, how do I deal with that personally? First is dealing with scripture honestly with my kids. The second thing is I apologize a ton. Right. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is something that we got to look at in scripture. We are sinful people.
Yeah.
And when we sin, and as parents, we sin against our kids. We just do. We need to let the Holy Spirit bring us to a place of asking for forgiveness because that models grace. It gives them the opportunity to show grace, right? Not only have they experienced it, received it, but they now are learning how to show it, which if that isn't the heart of Jesus, I mean, I just don't know what it is. So yeah, we deal with scripture plainly. We often apologize frequently so that we can experience grace together. I can show it to them. They can show it to me in that process. And then also the third thing is I don't do any of the praying in my house anymore. I know that that's kind of weird, but like I modeled prayer for a long time. I don't have to model it anymore. My kids can pray. And so we pray. I mean, I've prayed with my kids every night at bed, each one, all 5 of them going room to room to room for not just like 30 seconds, like, dear God, let them have a good night. No bad dreams. But man, I pray scripture over them. You know, I talk about like with my son, he'll always tell you, oh, Dad always prays that I have the heart of David, the mind of Solomon and the mouth of Ezekiel. You know, like that's I don't know if those are good prayers or not, but I just know, man, if you love Jesus with all your heart and you have a mind of wisdom and you're willing to speak truth, that's going to get you somewhere in the church, right? That's going to get you somewhere in the kingdom. And I want that to be true for my son. So we'll pray that together. But now, like when it comes to dinner, when it comes to nighttime, I'm like, okay, all right, let's pray. I say, okay, so you're going to pray tonight. And then they pray and they start praying those things that they've heard me model and pray for over time, you know? And that's been a really powerful experience for us.
Right. How about iron sharpens iron, discipling each other, you and Amy?
Oh, That looks a little messier. I mean, as you well know, right? Here's the way I look at this. We love each other deeply. Mm.
That is by the way, that is abundantly clear. It's really cool to watch you guys.
Oh, thanks, John. Yeah, we love each other deeply. And the greater the love you have for somebody and the higher degree of trust you have in them and they for you, the more difficult truth you can speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And those things go hand in hand. And so whether that's with your spouse or with a person, the ability to speak truth is directly related to the quality of your relationship. And my wife speaks truth. she has a way of making me oftentimes as a husband. And here's the thing. This is true about, I think, husbands and wives. We can feel very belittled by our spouses, right? Because they know us the best and they know how to push our buttons the best.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Christ-like nature is the foundation for the ability to speak truth, truth is no longer belittling or it's no longer criticism, but it's building up, right? It's truth in love versus truth in frustration or criticism or whatever else it might be. Because truth can hurt and truth can be awesome.
Amen.
And so spouses really need to have a high degree of humility. Right. Mm-hmm. With their spouse, high degree of trust. And that I think comes over long periods of time. I think my wife and I disciple each other better today than we did when we first got married. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had the years of trust building, to be able to do that. With Amy and I mean, it is truly about the fact that we're both very humble with each other. We apologize frequently and, we speak truth all the time.
Dan Bull, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being on the Minister's Friend podcast.
No, this has been a real blessing to me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We speak truth all the time. That statement is so important, not only between spouses, but when it comes to training up our children to love Jesus. Dan has a precious family. He and Amy are doing great in rearing their own kids for the Lord. And as you listen to this series, you can understand why. Disciple-making in the Bull family isn't haphazard. It's woven into the fabric of everyday life. Dan and Amy are teaching their kids that having Bible conversations are not only normal, but if a particular topic is in the Scripture, then it's fair game for discussion. They've also taught their kids that prayer is normal and a powerful thing. The Bull children are not afraid to pray. As a family, they practice what Dan and I have been discussing. They talk with God. They spend time in God's Word. They are devoted to a community of believers who are all leaning in to this God life together. And we must do the same thing. Oh, I'm so grateful to Dan during this very hectic season of life that he would take time to chat with us while he's packing up boxes and literally moving across the country. God bless you, Dan. Accompanying this podcast series, I would like to make a resource available to you. My latest book, Disciple Making, Helping Local Churches Understand What Disciples Are and How to Make Them, is a practical guide to help you reboot real disciple making in your church. It's actually a simple book, only 5 chapters. And in it, we talk about some critical components of the disciple-making process for every local church, many that are probably known, but not consistently practiced anymore. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It's available through Amazon.com, but if you follow the link to my publisher in today's show notes, you can get your copy right now for $2 off the cover price. Next time, I begin a brand new series of episodes with my dear friends and mentors, Tom Johnston and Mike Chong Perkinson, about how the COVID-19 pandemic has forever changed the way we do ministry, and how this God-given reset for the church is actually a very good thing. That's coming up on the Minister's Friend podcast. I'm so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders just like you lead their congregations well. If you're blessed by this podcast ministry, please tell others about us. Your recommendation to your friends, other pastors, and church leaders is the very best advertising that we could ever hope for.
Please also take a moment and give us a review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast. Good reviews and good ratings by our audience move us up the charts and enable us to connect with more people who may be blessed by our ministry. I'm so glad you were with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!